All right, lesson number 6. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is about mockery. People who mock the Bible. You ever hear the Bible mocked? Well, introduction, mockery is one of Satan's tactics. This is another weapon of the devil. Mockery of the Bible. It's an attempt to discredit the authority of God's Word. Basically, laugh it off. That's what many people do. Laugh it off. Make it a joke. We'll see that today. It is not something that should surprise us. That's the first part of that little statement. It shouldn't surprise us. We should recognize that that is the devil's work. Amen. Nor should it weaken our faith. We're going to look into that also. So 2 Peter chapter 3, we're going to talk about these mockers, people that mock the Bible. Number one is disclosure, meaning the revealing, the disclosure of mockers. Disclosure. God exposes them. Not only does He expose them, but He says it's been prophesied that they would rise up. It's already been foretold. But Peter starts off in verse 1, 2 Peter 3:1. Now, he says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Remember one of Peter's themes? We talked about it. Letter A. First of all, letter A, opposite of the false teachers, true believers have sincere minds. The word pure means sincere. It doesn't mean perfect, because none of us have a perfect mind. It doesn't mean sinless, because nobody on this earth has a sinless mind. But it does mean sincere. Why? Because he's comparing them to the false teachers. The false teachers were the opposite. Remember what we talked about last week? How the false teachers were deceitful, acting spiritual on the outside, but inside just looking for the next opportunity to sin. They were very deceitful. Peter says, you, beloved, you believers, you have a sincere mind. You're sincere in what you do and why you do what you do. Now, again, it doesn't mean that we're perfect all the time. But overall, a believer should have sincere motives. For example, a believer shouldn't be looking to serve God for what they can get. They should be desiring to serve God for what they can give. Whereas the false teachers, all they care about is what they're going to get. Amen. That's all they care about. So Peter uses this as a contrast. He just finished talking about, I mean, all you have to do is look up above chapter 3, and you see the terrible description of the false teachers. But then he says, but you, beloved, you have sincere minds. You have a sincere motive in what you do. And letter B, Peter's goal is to remind us of what we already know. Amen. He's not telling us anything new. He says, I just want to remind you. I want to stir you up. Remember, we talked about that. Stirring yourself up in the Lord. We get that every Sunday. But you know what? Sunday's not enough. You need to stir yourself up in the Lord every day. Amen. Every morning you got to stir yourself up. Because when you wake up in the morning, that old flesh does not want to worship God. That old flesh does not want to pray. The old flesh doesn't want to read God's Word. But you got to stir yourself up. In other words, kind of motivate yourself. Get yourself excited about the Lord again. It's a challenge. And he says, I want to stir you up by way of remembrance. And in verse 2, he says, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Letter C. In a day filled with many opposing voices, we need to be listening to the words of truth found in the Scriptures. There's all kinds of different voices out there today. And Peter says in verse 2, and I like this phrase, be mindful of the words. You see that phrase there? That ye may be mindful of the words. Meaning, keeping God's words in your mind. You know letter D? What we are mindful of determines how we live out each day. How you live out your day is determined by what you're mindful of. What are you thinking about all day long? What's dominating your thoughts? That determines how you live out your day. It could determine whether you live out a good day or a bad day. It determines your attitude. It determines everything. It determines how you react, how you respond. It determines everything. What are you mindful of? Peter says in verse 2, be mindful of the words, God's words. That'll change everything. Be mindful of the words. Be careful what you're thinking about.
Amen.
Because there's all kinds of influences that are trying to grab for your attention. All kinds of things that are pulling for you. Satan is always pulling. He's always pulling for your attention. Now, he knows he's not going to get you to worship him. I mean, if Satan was blatant and said, you know, I mean, he did it to Christ. He tried it, you know, worship me and I'll give you all these things. We know that's his ultimate goal. But he knows that chances are you're not going to, you know, go to the local, whatever it is, satanic worship center and start worshiping Satan. He knows you're not going to do that. So what he'll do is he'll just try to get you distracted. He'll try to get your mind on. As long as your mind is not on God and His Word, he's happy. You see? Tony?
This morning I heard the Holy Spirit. I don't want to hear from anybody that the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to us. Yes, He does. And I'll tell you, He did this morning. Because my wife and I, on Sunday morning, we put on Charles Stanley and we watched that. This morning, I don't know why, I don't feel like looking at TV. I don't feel like listening to anybody. And then all of a sudden, I heard that click in my ear. Read the Bible.
Amen.
Read the Bible, loud and clear. Now, right. I know the devil is not going to tell you to read the Bible. No way.
You're right. No, he wouldn't. And you know, the Bible does teach that God does speak to our hearts in a still, small voice. He does.
Down off the shelf and
amen.
I read it.
Praise the Lord. And that's what we need. Be mindful of the words. And you can't be mindful of the words if you're not reading it, right? I mean, that's just a given. Now he goes on in verse 3. He says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. That's people who mock God. Scoffers walking after their own lusts. You might work with a scoffer. You may have a neighbor who is a scoffer. The Bible is a joke to them. They laugh at the things of the Bible. They laugh at the way you live your life. They think you're a joke.
Yes.
I mean, are you for real type of thing?
Yes.
I mean, come on, get with the program, get with the times. Where are you?
Yes.
And they'll laugh, they'll mock. But Peter says, you should know this would happen. This is part of the end times, he says, letter E. We should never be surprised by those, or that there are those who discredit the Bible. Don't be surprised that there are those who discredit the Bible, make fun of it. It has always gone on. It's not even something new, but the prophets also said it would happen. So don't be surprised by those who discredit the Bible. I can't believe they do that. Well, I mean, that's just human nature, number one, because human nature in and of itself is at enmity with God. That's what the Bible says we were before we came to Christ. We were at enmity with God. So we shouldn't be surprised. Letter F, scoffers are those who laugh at Bible teachings. They laugh at it. Scoffers, that's your evening sitcom. Right? That's your, you know, 7 o'clock on TV sitcoms. Making fun of the Bible.
Amen.
They do it all the time. And I hope that if they do that, you would, you know, at that point in time say, okay, enough, turn it off. You know, that should be enough of a signal for us to say, I don't want any part of this show. You know, a show that makes fun of God, a show that makes fun of Christ, a show that makes fun of the Bible, I hope is not part of your evening programming. All right, turn it off.
Right.
Also, letter G, everything is a joke to them. Everything, there's nothing sacred to them. Everything's a joke. Anything that God calls holy, they make a joke of.
Amen.
That's the devil. Make everybody just laugh it off. It's a big joke, ha ha, laugh it off. That's the scoffer. And Peter says, that's the last days that we live in. It increases scoffers. And why, letter H, the scoffers do whatever they want. There is no code of morality for them. There are no limits. Nothing is off the table. Anything is fair game to them. There are no limitations.
Amen.
Nothing is, oh, that's too far, you shouldn't have said it. No, there are no limits with these folks. Everything is fair game. They do whatever they want. It says it at the end of verse 3. They walk after their own lust. John?
God also, I think, years ago, there used to be TV
sensors. Sure. Yeah, it's growing less and less now.
Yeah, there used to be,
this, of course, I guess the big area that we would say we need to be super careful of here in this topic is comedy. Because everybody enjoys a good laugh and everybody enjoys watching some comedy, but a lot of times they cross the line. And they cross the line and go too far, and we shouldn't be participating in that.
Amen.
All right? We got to be careful with the Saturday Night Lives and the whatnot, because they often cross the line. Sure, sometimes we can laugh at a certain skit and it's okay, but again, when they start, you know, crossing the line where God says you shouldn't, crossing boundaries, we need to, at that point in time, say no more. Turn it off. Go to something else. So be careful. All right? Be very careful. And letter I, you know what this leads to? Letter I, laughing off the Bible leads to loose living. And that's why we have a culture that is just embracing loose living.
Amen.
Loose lifestyles. I mean, they live however they want. Again, no morality, no restrictions, just loose living, do what they want, as it says, living, walking after their own lusts. So this is God's disclosure of them. There's no hiding here. This is something that God said would happen. And I believe we're living it even more so in these last days, as Peter said. And Peter wrote this way back. I think we said somewhere around 57 A.D. he wrote this, before the invention of television and all these things. And now, how much more is this going on now? How much more? Well, number two, the doubts. The doubts of the mockers. Because you see, the mockers love to cast doubt. They love to say these things and make fun as though, again, it's not real. So verse 4, what are they doubting? Verse 4, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all these things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. He's not coming back. That's their number one message. Jesus isn't coming back. You guys are still hung up on this thing. And of course, now they have more ammunition. You already said he was coming back on May 21st, and he didn't. And that's where we have to clarify, no, we didn't. Somebody else did. The Bible never said that. But you see, they have all the ammunition they want. He's not coming back. Things have always been the same. They say in verse 4, it's always been the same. So letter A, the main topic of their scoffing concerns the return of Christ. He's not coming back. He's not going to return. And also, letter B, unbelievers want to laugh off the idea of a future judgment day. It's almost like the laugh, like, I hope it's not really going to happen. So they laugh it off, because if it really is going to happen, they're scared to death. So they'll just laugh it off, pretend it's a big joke. Probably deep down inside, still a little scared, but laugh it off, pretend it's a big joke. They don't want to face a judgment day. Now, this big fancy word of letter C, uniformitarianism. Really, you could take the first part of it, uniform, meaning always all the same. Uniform means the same. That's all it means. It's a big word that simply teaches that existing processes in nature have always acted in the same manner. Oh, things have always been the same, and it's always going to continue the same. There's no God intervening. There's no God stepping in. It's always the same. And they exclude the possibility for catastrophes. It's always been the same. And this fits perfectly, letter D, hand in hand with evolution. Because this plays right in with their millions of years idea. Oh, the world has been around for millions of years. Come on, there's nothing. It's not going to end. you know, we're still evolving and advancing, and this fits in perfectly with their idea. This is exactly what they want to believe. And letter E, they figure things will always go on as they currently are. Oh, it's just always going to go, nothing's going to change. And because of that, Psalm 55:19 says this. Because of that attitude, it affects how they live. I mean, if there's never a day of reckoning, you could basically do what you want, right? Yeah, there's no day of reckoning. You could do whatever you want. Well, Psalm 55:19 says this. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth bold, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. Everything's the same. Everything's going on as usual. So they don't fear God. They have a false sense of security. Just like Noah's generation. Which is what Jesus said it would be like in the last days. Jesus said, just as in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days when the Son of Man comes back. Amen. When Christ returns. Because people in Noah's day, they had a false sense of security. What are you talking about, Noah? Everything's fine. This flood. Rain? There is no... They've never seen rain before. You understand? They had a false sense of security. Everything's fine, Noah. We've been living this way for years. Now all of a sudden we got to change. Now we got to run into a boat. You know, you can understand how they had a false sense of security. They thought everything was fine. There's no judgment coming until the day that the rain came. And then panic strikes. And the beating on the door of the ark. But there's no opening. It's too late, you see. Same thing's going to happen a lot during the tribulation. A lot of the same similar ideas. Judgment's coming, but they don't want to believe it. And letter F, since they are sinning and nothing is happening, they believe they are getting away with it. What are you talking about? Judgment. My life's great right now. I'm partying it up. What are you talking about? Everything's great. I'm having a great time. Now, sure, even in the life of a sinner, the fun ends quickly. It will end. But a lot of times their attitude is, hey, what are you talking about? I'm having a good time. This, that, and the other. I'm living my life. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says that because the sentence isn't executed quickly, therefore their hearts are set to do evil. Right? Hey, I did this last week and I didn't get in trouble, so guess what? I'm doing it again. You know, that's human nature. I got away with it then. I'm going to do it again. And I'm going to do it more. And it grows and grows. And they get bolder and bolder in what they do. Hey, I didn't get in trouble last time. Must be I'm all right. Until judgment comes. So Peter says, verse 4, this is their attitude. Where's the sign of his coming? We don't see anything. Everything's fine. Now, we, as believers, see the signs, I hope. We see the signs because we know the Word of God. We see what's happening in the world. We should not be like verse 4. Oh, he's not coming back. I hope a Christian would never say that. Because we see the signs. We should see the signs. We see the way the world is going. We see what's happening in the world and countries and nations and unions and all these things going on. European unions, etc. And Israel. I mean, all that. We see the signs. They're blind to it. So for them in verse 4, what are you talking about? We don't see anything happening. So they're doubting, number 2. Number 3 is denials. They have a lot of denials. They deny the Word of God. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Notice that word willingly. This is a choice they make, verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the Word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, verse 6, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. He's talking here about Noah's flood, which again is exactly the attitude people have. They had it in Noah's day and they still have it today. And letter A, to go along with their mockery of future judgments, guess what? They also have to deny the records of past judgments. You see, it fits right in with their whole philosophy. There's no future judgment because there's no judgment in the past. They deny the flood account. But God said they're willingly ignorant of it. The evidence is there. You understand, even in archaeology and whatnot, there's evidence of a worldwide flood. Fossils in places where they don't naturally belong. Okay, fossils of certain creatures, like, you know, for example, fish fossils on the top of a mountain somewhere. How did that get there? You know, and they have all these explanations, but you understand there's evidence. There is credible scientific evidence that there was a worldwide flood. There really is. But they, it says in verse 4 or 5, they're willingly ignorant. They don't want to hear it. You know, the scientists of today, they don't want to hear it. Don't talk about that stuff. That, you know, don't bring in the Bible into this. It's unscientific. You know, and they make their decision before they hear the facts. They're willingly ignorant of it. They don't want to hear the facts. And letter B, to quote another verse, these scoffers err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Jesus said that.
Yes.
He said, you do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. You see, they're ignorant of two important things. They're ignorant of the Bible, and they're ignorant of God's power.
Amen.
So they deny it. They deny the past flood. They say it never happened. They're willingly ignorant. And then in verse 7, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. This world is being stored or preserved for future judgment. You think about that. That's a scary thought. Now, by God's grace, we're not going to be here for it. All right? The Bible's clear on that. 1 Thessalonians, if you look at 1 Thessalonians, every chapter discusses how we're not going to face the wrath of God when God comes to destroy this world. We're not going to be part of that. Just like God took Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah before He burned it, He's going to take us out of this world before He destroys it. Same principle. God doesn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. He takes the righteous out first and then deals with the wicked. So what this verse 7 doesn't apply to Christians. It's talking about future judgment of unbelievers. Again, did you see the wording? Notice, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of who? Ungodly men. Christians are not there. This is for the ungodly. This is their future. So let her see. This earth is being preserved for future destruction. It's as though it's a condemned building. Think about that. It's going to be destroyed. So don't treat it like it's your eternal home, because it's not. We live here on earth as though we're going to be here forever. We're not. Realize it's preserved for future destruction. Letter D. God only has to let go, and I'll explain this. God only has to let go, and everything will burn up. All He has to do is let go, and everything will burn up. How? Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1. All He has to do is let go. Colossians 1:17. Listen to these words. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Meaning, consist means He holds it together. Here we go. Science 101. All right? Everything is made up of what we call atoms, right? Everything is made up of atoms. You know, the atom is the smallest thing. But inside the atom, there's all kinds of things, right? There's what are called protons, which are positive, and neutrons, which are neutral, electrons, which are negative, okay? Now, you know what happens in a nuclear bomb?
Yes.
They put these helium atoms and whatnot and hydrogen atoms in the bomb, and all they have to do is send one thing flying in there, one little atom flying off, and it starts what's called a chain reaction. Nuclear bomb.
Amen.
Blows everything up. Well, again, what is everything made up of? All kinds of protons, right? So all God has to do is let go, and everything will burn up. Everything will burn up. Because it'll start this massive chain reaction, because God, all He has to do is just let go, and everything will just fall apart and burn up. It's a crazy thought, but that's all God has to do. You see? He's holding everything together, and it says in verse 7 that it's going to be burned up, reserved on the fire. All He has to do is let go, and it will burn up. Tony?
The scientists already admitted that.
Yeah.
With their own mouth, they said if the sun were just an inch closer to the earth,
yeah, that too.
The earth would dissolve.
Yes.
And that's what Peter said.
It's going to burn up. Listen to Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven.
Yes.
And all the proud, yea, all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch.
Amen.
That's the last, that's you're talking about after Armageddon type of day. That's what that is. So, letter E, in the end, God's wrath will be poured down upon this world.
Amen.
To stick with our topic, all the people that laugh at God.
Yep.
Their day is coming.
Sad,
but it is coming. In the end, God's wrath will be poured down upon this world. Listen to Revelation 15:1. Revelation 15:1 says this. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. Book of Revelation, talking about the end of the end, the seven last plagues that God pours upon this earth,
Amen.
Filled with the wrath of God. You see, letter F, God is patient, isn't He?
Amen.
But He will not allow wickedness to continue forever. He can't. He cannot allow wickedness to continue forever.
Amen.
And the longer it goes on, the worse it gets.
Amen.
And God is going to step in someday soon, I believe. And He's going to put an end to it. So what do we do when our coworker is the scoffer? Or our neighbor is the scoffer? Or the family member, the aunt, the uncle, the cousin, the grandma, the grandpa, whoever is the scoffer? You know, I think number one, you pray for him. I mean, because only God can change a heart. You can't change a heart. And if they're the type that makes fun of the Bible and makes fun of God, it's really hard to get anywhere with them. I mean, if you're dealing with a person who just laughs it off. But you know what else I believe? A lot of times the people that are laughing on the outside are crying on the inside, aren't they? They're trying to cover something up with the laughter. Trying to make ha-ha and make a joke, but really inside, they might not be laughing. So don't let the laughter push you away. Because deep down inside, they might be thinking about what you're saying. But also, letter G, all we can do in dealing with a scoffer is to keep emphasizing the authority of God's Word over man's ideas. Keep emphasizing God's Word. Say, listen, God's Word is final. I saw a billboard, actually, on the New Jersey Turnpike just this week. And it's a good billboard. It says, it's got a picture of the Bible. It says, Holy Bible. And then it's got three words on the bottom. Hopefully I can remember them. It says, inspired. And it says, inerrant. And then it says, final. Done. You know, no arguing with it. Listen, this is the final authority.
Amen.
You know, you can argue, you know, one person's ideas versus another person's ideas, but this is the final authority. And we just got to keep pushing on that. And when they don't want to listen, you know, you just pray. And let's look in closing in Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. The two words for you and I in these last days as we deal with scoffers and as we deal with people that mock, two words that Jesus would have for us is to watch and wait. You just keep watching for the Lord and you just wait. Don't get discouraged. Don't let it wear you down. And everybody makes fun of me and everybody laughs at me. I'm just not going to talk about it anymore. Don't let that happen. Listen to Mark 13. And starting in verse 32. Mark 13, 32. But of that day, in that hour, knoweth no man. No, not the angels which are in heaven. Neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed. Watch and pray. For ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. He's talking to us.
Amen.
For ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you sleeping. Don't you fall asleep with the rest of the crowd. And listen to verse 37. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Just keep your eyes open. That's what Christ says to us. Keep your eyes open. Don't fall into the spiritual slumber. And please don't fall into the comedy scoffing club. the ones that, you know, make fun of God and His Word, stay away from them. Because they're not going to help your Christian life at all. And so we live in the last days. We live in the time of the scoffers. And you know, there's no surprise, the conclusion, those who are of the flesh have always attacked those of the Spirit. Don't allow the mockery of unbelievers weaken your faith. Rather, it should confirm it as truth. Isn't that amazing? They're not mocking, really, anything else as much, are they? It seems to be that this is the biggest target of theirs, which should encourage us. Say, wow.
Amen.
You know, they're attacking this because this is God's very truth.
Amen.
They're not attacking, you know, the holy book of the Hindus, all right, or the, you know, the other books out there. They're attacking God's Word. So that should just be further confirmation for us that we're on the right team. Amen? So the last day is the mockers. Next week, we're going to continue if you want to get ahead. The next few verses are actually great verses. They're encouraging verses. They're going to tell us, because even Christians, let's be honest, even Christians and even Habakkuk, the holy prophet of God, had this question mark in his mind. Why is God waiting so long? Right? Because even Christians, because the unbelievers, yeah, verse 4, he's not coming back. But even Christians can start to wonder, Lord, why are you taking so much time? But the answer is in the Bible. We have it in the next few verses. So if you want to read ahead, you read verses 8 and following, and you'll see the answer, why God is waiting. There is a reason. All right? He's not, you know, he hasn't forgotten about us, and he's not, you know, taking a nap. He is very aware of everything. And he's right on time. He's not late. So let's close in prayer.